Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Al-Bayan Live. I'm your host, Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very happy to be joined by my dear beloved brother, Sheikh Khalid Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing today?
Nice to be back. Very good, wallah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, it's good to have you back,
you guys, and in Sydney.
Alhamdulillah, as you know, we got to remain positive. We're still in lockdown here in good old Sydney. But inshallah, there's light at the end of a tunnel. We must remain positive and keep our hopes up. And inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, soon it will all be over or lessened, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala.
Inshallah. Patience is a virtue, yani, as they say.
That's it. That's it. Now, dear brothers and sisters, welcome to Al-Bayan Live for all those watching on YouTube. Welcome to all those watching on Facebook Live or listening to the Al-Bayan Radio app. Barakallah feekum. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and share the videos that are there, Al-Bayan Radio Australia. Now, dear beloved Sheikh, we've been, alhamdulillah, a few weeks discussing common mistakes in prayer. This is actually part number 5, alhamdulillah. Where are we starting from tonight?
Tonight, inshallah, we'll start and we'll begin from where we left off. But first, we say bismillah walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Last week, subhanallah, we left off with the sutra for those who tuned in, yani, and we mentioned and we left off with the point regarding that according to the majority of ulama, taking a sutra is mustahab, it's recommended. What is a sutra? Basically something which you place, we mentioned, in between you, something you place in front of you, yani, for multiple reasons, and we mentioned some of those reasons is for your eyesight, for example, to be fixed and not go and wander off. For example, you know, that obviously helps and supports the khushu' factor. So for example, as well, so if somebody wants to walk past, amongst other reasons. So the point is, we mentioned some of the rulings regarding that, and inshallah today we'll start off from that. Again, we'll continue where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, and we left off, I think, with this hadith: when one of you prays, then let him pray facing towards a sutra and draw close to it. And that's actually another kind of mistake regarding the sutra we didn't mention last week, and that is the sunnah actually is to have, you know, or to be close to the sutra approximately the amount of an arm's length after you've made sujood. So someone should not stand so far away from the sutra that by the time they make sujood, they're still a couple of meters away from it. No. What you should do is have the sutra close to you to the extent that once you make sujood from the time or the place, from the place where your head is on the floor, on the ground making sujood, you should have only a short distance between you and the thing that you have placed as a sutra. So what is the height of the sutra? Does it have to be a specific height? Does it have to be a specific width? To my knowledge, there is nothing mentioned in the sutra, in the sunnah, wallahu a'lam, regarding the width. As for the height, the hadith is clear regarding that, and it should be like the back of a sadu, basically, as the hadith mentions, which is, as the ulama have mentioned, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, the forearm's length. So from the tip of the fingers to the elbow, approximately. Now, does it need to be that? That is, by default, what should be done, minimum. Okay, because that's what the hadith mentions. But if you don't have something like that, say you just don't have it, you're in a position or a place where you can't get anything of that height right now and you need to pray, then inshallah ta'ala, anything less than that will suffice, because that is the next best option. But if you're able to, then we should be putting, as we mentioned, that height first and foremost, because that is the default, that ruling, that is the asl. Now, why is that so important in our day and age? Obviously, especially during this corona period, when most of us are at home, praying at home, obviously the sisters generally always, you know, except for some certain instances, praying at home. A lot of us have children running around. Maybe some of us even have animals. I don't know, yani, literally. I mean that literally. Maybe some of us literally have animals, subhanallah, going around. I'm not sure, subhanallah. So the point is, we'll mention halak quickly, inshallah, the next point about that. But it's very important. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned something which, subhanallah, is almost like another common mistake. And it kind of ties into the importance of having a sutra. And that is people just walking past the praying person and not, you know, caring whether they're praying or not. Wallahi, actually, I'll leave that story for one of the points coming up, inshallah ta'ala. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told us clearly that he says, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمَارُ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ الْمُصَلِّي, that if the person that is passing by the person praying, if a person, the one who passes by or in front of a person praying, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمَارُ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ الْمُصَلِّي مَاذَا عَلَيْهِ لَكَانَ أَنْ يَقِفَ أَرْبَعِينَ خَيْرًا لَهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَمُرَّ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, that if the person, the one that is passing in front of a person who is praying, knew what he bears, the ulama, they say, meaning of sin, of, you know, it's a serious matter. If he knew how serious it is or what he bears of sin, he would have preferred to wait 40 rather than pass in front of him. And subhanAllah, we mentioned that this is from the honesty, the honesty of the companions when they narrate, where they don't kind of say things without knowledge. Because Abu Nadr, one of the narrators, he says, I'm not sure whether the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 40 days, 40 months, or 40 years. And if we think about it, in reality, 40 days, Allahu Akbar, he didn't say 40 seconds. The minimum he said out of those three is 40 days. How serious is that? So when you're walking, or you want to walk in front of someone who is praying, inshallah, they have a sutra, and that's the sunnah. If they have a sutra, beautiful. That's one of the objectives of the sutra. So you walk behind the sutra. You don't walk in between them and the sutra. Now, what about if they don't have a sutra? Some people as well would stay there and they'll just stand. And like some of the ulama they mentioned, you estimate, because now it's his fault he didn't put the sutra really. So you estimate where he will make sujood, and you do not walk in between that position of where he is standing, his feet, and where he will make sujood, but you walk past that. You walk past that, and inshallah ta'ala, there will be no problem regarding that. And if you can, even better, especially if it's a position where you know people are constantly walking, place a sutra for them if it's possible. That is something good, and that is al-amr bil-ma'ruf, yani. That is enjoining good, and one of the forms of that. Now, the imam is the sutra for the praying person, which is another misconception that we all individually need a sutra. And that's a big misconception. And this is the story, actually. Wallahi, I was in Morocco one day with two brothers from Australia, subhanAllah. And it was part of the original journey, yani, of the initial kind of first trips to traveling overseas and studying. And we prayed in one of the masajid. And subhanAllah, we had... Allahu A'lam exactly why. Maybe we were late to the prayer. I'm not exactly sure. But whatever the reason was, we passed. I forgot the reason. We passed, subhanAllah, past one of the lines that were praying. And after the prayer, they got very, very, very upset. Some of the brothers got very upset. But this is the point now. If they knew that the imam is the sutra for the praying people, there would be no reason to get upset. And when we look into the sunnah, Ibn Abbas, who is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa radiyallahu an Ibn Abbas wa abihi, he says, once I came riding a donkey and I had just attained the age of puberty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed at Mina. And then he says, I passed in front of the row, or in front of part of the row, while they were praying. Then I let the donkey loose to graze and I joined the row, and nobody objected to it. Why did nobody object? Because they know that the imam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is their sutra. So as long as no one passes in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're allowed to pass in front of the rows and the people praying. And that's important for multiple reasons. One of them, for example, is if we're at home and we're praying a jama'ah, and once again, a child or someone passes in front of us, but the imam has no one passing in front of them, that's fine. We don't need to make a massive deal out of that. Of course, if it makes you lose khushu' and the likes, that's another story. But the point is here that Islamically, fiqh rulings and the likes, it doesn't affect the prayer. It doesn't affect the prayer whatsoever. Another important point or a reason to know that is, say for example something happens where you lose wudu and there's only lines behind you and a line to your right, people to your right and the likes, what do you do? Just stand there? You don't need to. You're allowed to leave and walk in between or through the rows and the likes, make wudu, and if you can rejoin the congregation, alhamdulillah, beautiful. So you don't just need to stand there and sit down, for example, and say I can't pass in front of them because they're praying, amongst multiple other things. And to tie everything up, one of the common mistakes is not stopping people or someone or something passing in between you and the sutra. How common is this? Personally, I know amongst the brothers, and I'm 100% assuming amongst the sisters as well, that they do not care. And I mean this, yani, not in a bad way, but they just don't know maybe, but they don't kind of show any care towards stopping the children from passing in front of them, for example. They think that their children, it's okay, but that's not the case. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even an animal, if I recall correctly, a sheep was passing in front of him and he stopped it. And he stopped it. He didn't just say it's a sheep. It's not something that, you know, has intellect really. I'll leave it. No, even a sheep, if an animal, if a child walks past you, if a person walks past you, then you must stop them if you are, if you have something in front of you as the sutra. That's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice and instruction, where he said, when any one of you prays facing a sutra, yani, as I said, an object to screen him from the people and the likes, and someone wants to pass in front of him, let him not, or let him push him away. Yani, let him stop him basically from passing in front of him. If the individual insists to keep going, keep going, keep going, then the hadith says, fight him, for he is no more than a devil. Fight him, for he is no more than a devil. And if I recall correctly, I remember speaking to my uncle, Sheikh Faiz, once, and he told us a very funny story about him implementing this hadith in, I think it was Al-Madina. And he literally gave the person a bit of a shove, yani, as is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of the ulama, they said regarding implementing this hadith, if the person insists, some of them mentioned, if the person insists and you do stop him in an Islamic manner, and something happens to him from an injury and the likes, you are not held liable, because he's not meant to do that. Like, for example, we'll leave anyway the examples because there's many, but subhanAllah, yani. So it's extremely important that even if it's children and kids or whoever it is, that we do not allow them to pass. I'm not saying you go there and once again, like last week, you go to the top rope and drop the elbow drop on the kid, for example, his forehead or something. You know, no, just stop him, yani, inshallah, easily. You don't need to get too aggressive. Just stop them, yani, inshallah, very easily.
Sheikh,
and inshallah.
Sheikh, all this once again shows the importance and sacredness of the prayer. Subhanallah al-Azim. Another example.
Yeah, 100%. Subhanallah. Yes, yani, if you think about it, it's regarding all. Supporting and aiding the notion of khushu', tuma'nina, you know, all of this, subhanAllah, in the prayer. Because don't forget, as we're going to see, we're standing before Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, how many times have we mentioned, and we hear the ulama give the examples, that if we're standing before a king, if we're standing before a ruler, if we're standing before Allah, someone who we hold in high esteem or high regards, would we just, for example, in this case, we'll change the example that they give a little bit, but would we, for example, wear the clothing we're wearing? Would we speak the way we're speaking, with the tone we're speaking? Would we recite as quick? You know, inshallah, one of the lessons we intend to give, inshallah ta'ala, is common mistakes in reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. One of them, as you know, even though it might not be so common, but some brothers, they recite so quickly and they think if they leave the end of the verse, you know, at normal pace, it's all good. So they'll say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You know, so they left only the end. You know, no. So if we were standing before a king, would we recite the way we recite? Would we say the way we recite? Would we speak the way we speak? Would we allow our children to be going around, running around the way they're running around? And things like this. And obviously it all goes back to, as we said, that notion of khushu' and the likes. And subhanAllah, one of the points that ulama mentioned about the children and the likes, just so we don't kind of exaggerate it too much. Some people might go to extremes regarding it. Some of the ulama mentioned that, yani, if the child is so, basically, I'll paraphrase their wording, if the child is so active that they'll continue to go in past, and it's going to cause past you, and it's going to cause you to move a great, great deal, so much so that it's really going to have a massive effect on your prayer, more of an effect. Because once again, it goes to khushu', more of an effect than it would of the child actually passing in front of you and the likes. Then here, you don't need to, inshallah, stop them. If you can and they'll stop, beautiful. But if they're the type that you stop them and they just run around the other way and they come in and out and run under and, you know, 1, 2, 3, and it's going to really, really just destroy the whole notion of your prayer, then inshallah ta'ala, if you don't, yani, stop them, that's okay. And as we said, it's actually very important, because wallahi, a very common mistake I see, even when I go over brothers' houses and the likes, is they'll allow their children to go in front thinking it's not a problem. The hadith says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced a war and we were behind him. And an animal, and as I mentioned in another hadith, I recall if it was a sheep, yani wallahu a'lam, came and wanted to pass in front of him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do? He kept pushing the animal against the wall, yani, until the animal's stomach pressed against the wall or touched against the wall, and then it returned and passed behind him. So he didn't, as I mentioned, say that, it's an animal, it's all good, yani. No, he stopped whatever went in front of him. And that also shows us what I first mentioned, that we should be close to the sutra. We should be close to the sutra. Okay, so inshallah ta'ala, that's regarding the sutra. And wallahi, there's a lot that we can say in reality regarding all of these things, yani. But as I mentioned, that a lot of it needs to be covered in fiqh classes, inshallah ta'ala, where we can give and take and ask more and 1, 2, 3. But if anybody does have any questions, as always, you're always more than welcome to comment, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, that's one. The next point as well is being extreme in facing the Qibla. Being extreme in facing the Qibla. Now, what do we mean being extreme? Some people will go, you know, overboard and make a massive scene, go to war if the Imam is not, you know, exactly the way they want him to be. Yani, over a degree, 1 degree, you know, difference, they will go to extremes and they will... maybe Allahu A'lam, some of them not even pray. And this is important as well. Likewise, if you're out and you don't know the direction of the Qibla, but you know the general direction, or you're at home and you wonder, oh, I prayed a few degrees off the Qibla, do I need to repeat the prayer? I didn't pray exactly that degree. And the likes, the answer is no, you don't need to repeat. Because if the deviancy is slight, if the deviancy of the Qibla, yani, is slight, it doesn't affect. And this is from the ease of the Sharia. Because we're obliged to face the general way or direction of the Qibla. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever is between the east and the west is Qibla. And Al-Imam al-San'ani, he mentions in his book Subul al-Salam, the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, he mentions this hadith is required, or this hadith indicates what is required is to face the direction of the Qibla and not towards the exact location of the Kaaba when one cannot see it. And wallahi, that makes things a lot easier on us. And if you really, really, really think about it anyway, if we were to draw a line and we were to try our best to get it spot on, and we were to draw a line literally face that way out to the Kaaba, how many, you know, in realistically are going to get it spot on? Of course, not many, yani. Wallahu a'lam, the actual percentage, but not many. And it just goes back to the ease of the Sharia, is that it's an easy matter, inshallah. If you cannot see the Kaaba, if you can't see the Qibla, then do not go to extremes regarding facing it. Yes, of course, we try our best to get it precise. But if there is a slight deviancy, then there's no problem. As Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, thus we know the matter is broad in scope. So if we see a person praying in the direction that is slightly away from the Qibla, that doesn't matter, because he's facing the general direction, and that is what he is obliged to do. That is what he is obliged to do. Okay, and I actually have seen it with a masjid once, where the masjid, wallahu a'lam, but one of the brothers was telling me that this actually occurred in one of the masajid, and I've seen it, like I ended up visiting that masjid, and they said that there was a slight, the actual whole thing was slightly away from the Qibla, but they didn't change it. They left it the way it was, because that's the way it should be. Because the whole point is we face the general direction of the Qibla. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue. Sheikh Nidal, is that, do we go on, yani, or?
Perfect, continue, please.
So the next point is, and this really could have been mentioned at the start as well, not being at ease in the prayer. This is actually one of what we said, I think, in the first or second lesson, one of the pillars of the prayer. Yani, if it is not there, then the prayer is invalid. But what does it mean at ease in the prayer? Being at ease in the prayer refers to giving every position, as the ulama, they say, in the prayer, it's due right. Some even mentioned placing the limbs in their correct position with a pause. Yani, I'm sure we've all seen someone pray, or people pray, or a jama'ah pray, maybe whoever it is, or maybe we've prayed before, where, for example, ruku' and up from ruku', it's just like a one movement. You haven't even stayed. You haven't even given that, you know, the limbs their position, or allowed them to settle in their position with a pause and the likes. No, this should not be done. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to one who prayed badly, he didn't have this tuma'nina, he didn't have this tranquility and this and the likes in the prayer and dignity. He says, go back, for you have not prayed. Allahu Akbar, go back, for you haven't prayed. And the man said, yani, after three times of this, go back, you haven't prayed. Go back, you haven't prayed. Go back, you haven't prayed. The man said, ya Rasulullah, yani, O Messenger of Allah, by the one who sent you with the truth, I can't do better than this. Teach me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? He said, when you stand up to pray, yani, when you intend to pray, do wudu well. Then turn and face the Qibla. Then say takbir, yani the first Allahu Akbar, and recite whatever you can of the Quran. And then he said the important part regarding the point here, then bow until you are at ease with the bowing. And then raise your head until you are standing up straight. Not like what some people they do. They'll go half up, and then before they get up straight, dead straight, they're already down. So they'll get up and they'll still be bent over, and they'll go down as well. That cannot be done. And that is not permissible to do. And that would lead to your prayer being invalid. It's a very serious matter. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, then bow until you are at ease in the bowing. And then prostrate until you're at ease in the prostration. Meaning after you've stood, you go into prostration now. Until you're at ease in the prostration. Then likewise sit until you are at ease in the sitting. And then, you know, prostrate until you're at ease in the prostration. And then get up until you are standing up straight. Then do that throughout your prayer. So that shows us once again that we need to be at ease. And we mentioned what being at ease means. And it's a very important concept that we give every position or every limb its position in the prayer. And we're basically relaxed, taking it easy. It's not a race. Once again, we're standing before Allah Azza wa Jal, as we're about to see with the next hadith and the next mistake, which is looking around in prayer. And how often does this occur? How often does this occur? Looking around in prayer. Now, we mentioned one of the reasons for the sutra is so it can stop you from doing this. And inshallah, we'll mention a few other points regarding this now. But first, the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, our mother radiallahu ta'ala anha, the one who Allah Azza wa Jal on multiple circumstances sent down Quran regarding, and the one who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as there's even a difference of opinion, was she the most favored to him between her and Khadija? And as we know, the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked who is most beloved to you, he said Aisha, Allahu Akbar. Then who? Regarding the men, yani, her father. So that's just a quick point regarding our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and her father Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. She said, ya Rasulullah, she says herself now, sa'altu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an iltifati rajul fi salah. I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding looking around whilst praying. Looking around whilst praying. What did he answer? He says, huwa ikhtilas yakhtalisuhu ash-shaytanu min salati al-'abd. This is something, yani, that shaytan steals from the man's prayer. Allahu Akbar, yani, the looking around, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't just say it reduces reward, it can destroy khushu', it distracts the slave. He said this is something which shaitan steals from the person's prayer. So when we're praying, we shouldn't look around left, right, behind, 1, 2, 3, etc. No. This is also in the longer hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions to us and saying, and this is something we should always recall when we're praying. He says, فَإِذَا صَلَّيْتُمْ فَلَا تَلْتَفِتُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْصِبُ وَجْهَهُ or yes, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْصِبُ وَجْهَهُ لِوَجْهِ عَبْدِهِ فِي صَلَاتِهِ مَا لَمْ يَلْتَفِتْ. Allahu Akbar. That the hadith says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you pray, do not look around, for indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has his face towards his slave so long as he doesn't look around. So it's conditional. that if you're going to sit there looking around, Allah Azza wa Jal may turn his face away from you. But as long as you have your face basically focused and structured and fixed and not looking around, Allah Azza wa Jal will, as the hadith says, turn or have his face towards the slave. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw some spit on the wall of the Qibla. And then he scratched it and then turned to the people and said, if one of you is praying, let him not spit in front of him, for Allah is in front of him when he prays. So this shows us that we should not be once again looking around and getting distracted and the likes. It's once again a serious matter. Of course, inshallah ta'ala, the asl is it's not haram, but it can be haram depending on where you're looking. And that brings us to the next point. Yep.
Now, Dishuk, before you go on to the next point, what is amazing about the parable or the example the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave as the shaitan stealing from one's prayer is that if you look at it, if someone steals something for you from you, what would you do? You would chase him, try to get it off him. Then what about the prayer? He's actually stealing from your prayer, stealing from potentially earning more rewards in the prayer. So this should make us more and more eager to fight the shaitan and have khushu in our prayer, look at the place of sujood, and not let anything take away from it.
Exactly. And exactly. If it was a material possession, we'll all be running around. What can we do to get it back? SubhanAllah, probably staying up late, losing sleep and the likes. But once again, this is more, and these concepts are more important than those material possessions and the dunya matters and the likes. And as we said, you know, subhanAllah, regarding that Allah Azza wa Jal being in front of us in prayer, our Lord, yani our sustainer and provider, you know, why would we turn around, especially after knowing these narrations? Especially after knowing these narrations. And as you so beautifully mentioned, Shaykh Abu Abdurrahman, before, it all ties into the concept of khushu'. So many people, they complain and they've got problems regarding khushu', but they may be the cause to those problems. Because they may, one, not be doing anything to stop it, and two, they may, for example, as we mentioned last week or the week before, be having these things around them that is causing them to lose all these this concept once again of khushu' and the like. SubhanAllah. That's why the ulama, they actually say, as-salatu ibadatun ruhiyya wa badaniyya. The prayer is not just, it's not just, for example, an act of worship, which is just physical regarding the body parts and the likes. It's also spiritual, but vice versa. It's not just spiritual, it's physical. So you need to ensure your gaze is looking towards the place of prostration, as we'll see. And Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he splits the wondering, this iltifat, this concept of iltifat, actually, he splits it into two. He says the wondering of the heart, meaning losing khushu', losing that focus on the prayer, and the wondering of the eyes and the likes, and the wondering of the eyes and the likes, subhanAllah. So we need to really just pay attention to that. And this once again leads us to the next common mistake. And we remind the listeners, subhanAllah, and anybody who's watching and listening, that when we say mistake, we're not necessarily saying they're haram, which one may get sinned for, and we're not necessarily saying that the prayer is invalid if one does these things or leaves off one of these things and the likes. No, but it could be makruh and it could simply be against the sunnah. One of them, there's actually two in this, but the second stems off the first, which is the first, closing the eyes in the prayer for no reason. Closing the eyes in the prayer for no reason. Now, why is this makruh? Simply put, it goes against the sunnah. This wasn't what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Some of the ulama, they said it resembles the way of the Jewish, yani when they pray. And one comment I found really interesting is that regarding this and why we should not close our eyes is every limb plays a part in the prayer. Every limb, every faculty plays a part in the prayer. And what is the part of the eyes? To be looking at that place of prostration. That's the part, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. So when we close that, we're no longer performing the sunnah of looking at that place of prostration, as we'll see, inshallah, we'll discuss in the next point. Okay, so very important. And Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, mentions, and we'll end with this point, so we don't go too long regarding that, because khalas, the default is it is not from the sunnah, and it is disliked according to many of the ulama, to close the eyes for the prayer. But is it always disliked? Many of the ulama mentioned that it's not always, because if there's a reason to close them, such as if there's a massive distraction in front of you, then there's no problem with closing them, for example. Let's just say, subhanAllah, it's happened to me personally, I'm sure it's happened to many, where you may get a kid in front of you literally just looking at you, and you just, if you keep your eyes open, you are not going to focus. You know, we're human beings, subhanAllah. So what do? You close your eyes so you no longer see the child, for example. Yani, then inshaAllah ta'ala, there's no problem. And one of those ulama that I have mentioned that clearly is Ibn al-Qayyim, where he says, actually, in cases like this, where it's more from khushu' to actually close the eyes, if there's a distraction around, he says that according to the principles of the sharia, and he actually mentions maqasid al-shari'a, al-maqasid al-shari'a, that yani from the goals and the aims and the principles of the sharia, that we can say, wallahu a'lam, that's actually closer to being recommended than disliked. Okay, because the whole point is having that khushu', and if you keep your eye open and that kid's going to be in front, for example, to make you laugh, to make you giggle, to make you lose that khushu', then closing your eyes, inshaAllah ta'ala, may be better in this situation. And this is the second point that stems off the first now. So the first is, do not close your eyes unless you need to. Even though naturally we may be accustomed to this, especially when we're reciting and the likes, but this is something we should train ourselves not to do. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the Kaaba, and his gaze did not go beyond the sight of his prostration until he came out. So this is the second mistake, where people not only look around one, but they don't look at the place of sujood. The sunnah, my brothers and sisters, is to look at the actual position where you are prostrating. And this is clear in the hadith as well, in the narrations, except for the position of tashahud, where you should be looking at your finger, because the hadith as well clearly did that. You know, this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith mentions that Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that his father said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam كان إذا قعد في التشهد وضع كفه اليسرى على فخذه اليسرى وأشار بالسبابة لا يجاوز بصره إشارته. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to sit for the tashahud, when he used to sit يعني أن التحيات لله to the end of the tashahud, he would put his left hand on his left thigh, and he would point with his index finger, and he would not let his gaze go beyond his finger. He would not let his gaze go beyond his finger. So clear there, very, very clear. Now to end this topic about the sight. So we've mentioned a few things, which is actually a few common mistakes just regarding the eyes. To end this, and this one is haram, this one we're about to mention, and it's so serious, that some of the ulama, I remember, subhanAllah, I prepared a lesson, I couldn't find actually the quote word for word, but I had found it in the past preparing a lesson about the prayer, subhanAllah, if I recall correctly, attributed to Ibn Hazm, rahimahullahu ta'ala, where he says that the prayer is invalidated if you do this with your eyes. Now, the vast majority of ulama rejected this. So, inshaAllah ta'ala, it's not invalid. But many ulama said it's a haram, it's a sin. And some even said a major sin because of what we're about to mention. What is this? What is this, Allahu Akbar, that can possibly, you know, cause you to commit a sin in the prayer? And even some said a major sin. And as we said, one or some even went as far as saying invalid. Once again, inshallah, this is not that correct opinion according to what the vast majority have said. This is raising the eyes to the sky in prayer. Raising the eyes to the sky in prayer. And this is done on a daily basis by some, especially when you see in these countries, you know, and the likes, this happens so, so much. At some point in the prayer, they will raise their eyes to the sky, whether that be in the dua, in the prayer, whether that be when they're going up from ruku' and they look up for, when they're coming up from ruku' to the standing position and the likes. Why is it so serious? Why is it different to just looking, you know, maybe to the left or peeking to the right or something like this? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, ما بال أقوام يرفعون أبصارهم إلى السماء في صلاتهم فاشتد قوله فاشتد قوله في ذلك حتى قال لا ينتهن عن ذلك أو لا تختف أو لا تختفن أبصارهم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, what is wrong with people who look towards the sky during the prayer? And then the hadith mentions Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he actually says the Prophet's speech became stern. He didn't just say it in a calm manner as if it's an easy matter. No, the hadith says, you know, his talk grew very stern. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they either stop looking, they stop looking at the sky, otherwise Allah azza wa jal will take their eyesight away. Yani, or the hadith actually mentions, you know, al-mabni lil-majhul, yani, or ma la yusamma fa'ilu, their eyesight would be taken away. Allahu Akbar. What a serious matter. Either they stop looking at the sky, or their eyesight would be taken away. So now we know how serious of a matter it is. And some ulama, once again, related to the topic of khushu', because if you're looking up, you may see things that distract you and the likes, but of course, there'll be multiple wisdoms, whatever all of them are. The point is, we are not allowed to look to the sky in prayer. And subhanAllah, it shows us in the hadith as well, before we finish off, that at times, yani, you're allowed to be a bit staunch and stern and rough. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ishtadda qawluhu, his speech became stern. And we know that at times in the Sharia, there are moments which call for this, to the extent, as we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masjid, he told us, the one that announces lost property, the one that says, I've lost 1, 2, 3, has anyone found it? Or there's someone who's lost 1, 2, 3, to the extent the hadith says, say to him, may Allah not return it to you. Allahu Akbar. You know, how serious and staunch is that? And some of the ulama have mentioned regarding the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was on the minbar, especially when it came about things with tawheed and shirk and the likes, his face used to become red like a pomegranate, veins used to pop out. And to the end, which we know insha'Allah ta'ala. But the point is that sometimes you need to be a bit staunch and you need to be a bit stern. And wallahi, actually once in the lesson of Sheikh Uthman al-Khamis, this was probably almost 6-7 years ago, almost from the first of Dawrat, which I attended, you know, for him, Sheikh Uthman, he was giving a talk about explanation actually of the book Fada'il al-Quran by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. The virtues of the Quran. And actually someone was in the, basically the brothers, yani, or someone was, if you'd like to say, in the audience or in the crowd, or 1, 2, 3, someone was in the audience, yani, listening, basically they started to try to refute the Sheikh regarding the Sunnah, saying that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran that he's made it clear to, everything is clear in there and etc. That why do we need the Sunnah? And the Sheikh ended up becoming very angry. Until eventually, after telling him it's coming, the person would not stop. Wallahi, he ended up telling him to shut up, subhanAllah. And you know, at times we need to have this staunchness and this sternness. And at times it is from the Sharia. It is from the Sharia. So if you ever see a teacher, a preacher, you know, getting a bit emotional sometimes, a bit more, as they say, rough, rugged up, yani, speak a bit roughly, sternly, staunchly, know that this doesn't necessarily mean he's going against the Sharia and the likes. No. Okay, this could be, and inshallah is in many times from the Sharia. And inshallah ta'ala, we can continue next week with the rest of them.
I actually didn't intend
to get through a few more. It seems like they're never ending.
Alhamdulillah, inshallah, we'll continue next week. We'd like to thank you for being with us. I know you're on a tight time schedule, so we have to appreciate that. And jazakallah khairan. And I'd like to thank all the brothers who are tuning in today with us. Inshallah, Sheikh Khalid will be back with us next Wednesday, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.